people who love them.
All right, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you for joining us. It's still a somewhat rainy and overcast day in Atlanta. We are, as usual, recording in Strongbox West over here on the west side of Midtown. We have a full house at the table again today. Let's just do a quick round of introductions.
Eric.
Becca.
Ronnie.
Becca.
Ben.
Right, so we've got both Beccas with us, and we're going to try to tackle four things today. I have a friend who's looking for a car, and he's got some specific requirements in mind. I'm going to talk about that real quick. Ronnie wants to talk about prioritizing modifications to your car. Eric doesn't want to talk about his thing.
Mine was a piggyback to the prioritizing models. It was just a comment on it.
Okay.
So we'll share.
It's
not a whole topic.
It's relevant. So yeah, and then Becca wants to talk about
salvage rebuild.
Let's start with the prioritizing mods, Ronnie. What do you take it away?
So I've had this 1993 Nissan 240 SX for quite some time now, but I've been lending it out to people that were in desperate need of transportation due to extenuating circumstances and, you know, just general misfortunes. And I'm one of those guys that has a collection of really crummy cars, so I always have a mode of transportation to get me around. And I'm also one of those guys that, you know, just makes things work, so I'm never really too concerned about anything. So this 240 has been exchanging hands for the past 2 years or so, and it finally landed back in my hands with a leaking fuel tank, both of my rear fenders completely dented in, and misfiring on two cylinders. So this is great, right?
Good grief.
Wait. I have to point out, and we're going to have to read this so that people can see it, but I have a shirt that maybe you need.
Just one more car, I promise. That's great.
So you said you lent this car out to a friend?
To various friends.
What kind of friend gives you dented fenders and a leaky gas tank?
It's one of those things where, you know, I'm trying to remove my materialisticness and...
You know, call them out by name. Shame them on the podcast.
I can't do that to the people.
Yeah. I don't think they know what they're doing, though, do they?
No, none of them are car people is the thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I will admittedly say that I had an obsession problem with an S2000 that I had, and I just sunk way too much money into it, and I coveted the thing so much, and it became a problem. Because it was a fantastic car.
Sure.
Becca is blown away. Yeah.
I'm suddenly thinking I met you at an S2000 convention in North Carolina? This is going back, though.
Last time I had my S2000 was in 2009.
How long did you have?
About a year.
Okay, so maybe not. It was suddenly clicking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for anybody to hear that. I had the weird look trying to...
Yeah. No deja vu is happening or no...
I was trying to remember something.
So anyway. Yeah.
So I thought that was a problem at the time. And so when I got the 240, I was like, well, it's eventually going to be a race car or a drift car or something along the lines of that. However, I can't covet it. I always have to be able to just, you know, serve people first in that sort of respect. So I gave it away to people that needed it. It's actually currently on loan out to a guy that needs his S2000 fixed. Good friend, but he doesn't have an alternate mode of transportation, and so he now has the 240. And as I got it back and it was finally in my hands and I was like, okay, I have the time and the money to finally get it back into shape and, you know, maybe start modifying it, I realized that there's a level of logic that needs to be approached that a lot of people, especially, and I hate to say it, in the 240 community, that they just don't have the rationale and reason. So starting with my car, as an example, I had a leaking fuel system. Again, the suspension, the suspension was blown. Body is dinged up and dented. There are several leaks coming from the engine bay. If this were in the hands of a typical 19-year-old 240 SX owner, the first thing that would be thrown on is wheels. This is a problem. You don't do that. So number one step, and this is as a former ASC Master Certified Technician and someone that is very avid into motorsports, start by getting your car into a respectable shape.
yeah.
Wait, are we talking... visually or mechanically?
Mechanically. Visually, I will never really say much of anything, because depending on where you live, listeners, if you are up in the New York area, you will never have perfect wheels. It's just impossible. If you live... Right. If you live in the Cleveland, Ohio area, your car has been eaten through by all kinds of salt and rust. It's inevitable. However, you can do your due diligence to make sure it is in good, sound mechanical condition, so that even while you're floating on whatever suspension and wheels that you love so much, you'll be able to stop before you cross that red light and not get T-boned by a truck. You want to make sure that your car is in sound mechanical condition. However, yes, you can be smart along those routes. So in the case of my 240, my suspension was just shot. All the bushings are gone. You hear all these little metal pieces clanking whenever you load your suspension one way or another.
Good grief.
Right. So instead of going with stock suspension, I did a quick little search, and I found that there are good, reliable alternatives for an equal price of what OEM parts would be, that were adjustable upgrades. So for about $400, I got a whole new set of front and rear control arms for the 240 that are 100% adjustable. So now I can adjust my camber, my caster, my toe on the front and the rear. I mean, some of those were adjustable from a OEM perspective, but now the range that I have is tremendously high, and so I can keep it at a stock setting until I modify the car further, but I have reliable parts on there. And suspension is something I always harp on to start with, because that's going to increase the drivability of the vehicle. It'll feel better in your hands, and you'll also get to feel what the car is more capable of, rather than, you know, try to go into a corner and all of a sudden you're kink, and you just wonder what was that. Second thing I would recommend prioritizing is your stopping ability, so brakes. And there's very, very easy ways to do this. You don't have to upgrade to giant fixed Brembo calipers or anything along those lines. A simple brake fluid flush would be a great idea. You can go with stainless steel braided lines to increase your pedal feel. You can go with a product such as EBC or Hawk pads to increase your bite.
So I got to ask real quick, Ronnie, why are brakes not as much of a priority as suspension?
So
that's where I was going to ask. And also, as far as engine over suspension, I know you're already thinking about my Mustang.
No, I'm talking about fuel leak. That would honestly be my first priority, and then suspension is...
Let's let Ronnie get through his list for sure.
Okay, sorry, just that's been ringing around in my head.
For right back to his thing about first and foremost making sure the car is mechanically decent.
Right. So to address the fuel issue, there is no reasonable modification that I would say is available for the street in terms of fuel system. So that would fall under the category.
Now, is it a fuel tank storage leak or a fuel pressure going to the engine leak?
I found out it was a fuel tank storage leak.
Okay.
So it was right at my sending unit, so all I really needed to do... Did JB weld it up? Nah. I just took some extended hose. If I wanted to, I could have gotten some braided hose, and, you know, that would have lasted longer, quote-unquote, but...
Yeah.
It's just hose until I switch to a fuel cell system, which isn't DOT approved. It's good for the track.
Yeah.
And I'll leave this to you, Eric. What's good for the track, and this is for all you kids out there that hear this story, what is good for the track is not good for the street. I don't know how I can open it up more than that.
Yeah.
Eric here has a little story of a friend, and I'll let him fill that in.
A customer currently, thankfully not working on the car, just assisting when I need to. She has her brother's old 95 M3 track car that she has decided to put back on the street. And I keep thinking, you could have just gone to auction, at least then you had a gamble if maybe it wasn't abused. I've never heard of this happening.
She just really loved the car in order to take something that has been beaten up and put it back on the street.
I guess. It's low mileage. I mean, hard, but low.
And that's the question. It's like, how much money do you pour into getting something street legal versus just buying another car that's already street legal and hasn't been beaten up?
And that's the thing. Just the ABS is the issue right now. And 95, to some people, doesn't sound that old. But when you get into something like this, there were four options for wiring diagrams. All of them showed pin 22 on the ABS computer being the pin I needed to check. There was no terminal in 22. Eventually, we found the other wiring diagram that was apparently correct for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. We were able to find that, yes, we had a high resistance in the right front inlet valve, although if you look up code 20, it shows left front wheel speed sensor. Mm. So much information gets lost in a couple decades on a car. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it doesn't sound that old, but especially that's like an M car. It's just they changed little things. I had an M Roadster, mm-hmm. Z3. The fan locked up. And auxiliary fan is not just for air conditioning. In Atlanta traffic, it's actually for cooling your engine also.
Yep.
The customer unfortunately found that out. He thought it was just for the AC because I already fixed the coolant leak a few weeks ago. The fuse for the fan. All the Z3s, it's under the hood in the fuse box. No, this one you have to rip the dash apart to get to the fuse.
Nice.
And no, the all data, which I actually don't have access, Pro Demand, Mitchell, they don't tell you this. That wiring diagram is just for that, the main car, the one that everybody has. If you get into the interesting little fun stuff like M, which we just recently found out what the M3 and whatnot stand for, is. So that's my little rant on, yeah, it's, you can have a race car, you can have a street car, you don't get both. We've had customers that insist on having both. We supercharged. One customer had two SRT8s, a Grand Cherokee and a 300. We supercharged. We did full exhaust. We did everything. The guy spent the money. But those T-cases didn't last forever in all-wheel drive. So about 700-something horsepower Grand Cherokee.
Jeez.
Yeah, we put a couple T-cases in. But you can't have both unless you're willing to spend the money, which some people are.
Yeah.
He did. And so, yeah, he was able to have those toys.
But then does he even know what to do with the damn thing?
Sorry. Turn the radio up real loud.
No. You might want to say outdoor transfer case, just in case.
Yeah, T cases stand for transfer.
Oh, sorry. That's I got in trouble for that not too long ago.
I've been called out on that too. That
yeah.
we have to
some people don't understand these things. Yeah.
So to get back to Ronnie's list, get the car in solid mechanical shape. So that would include fixing the leaks,
right?
Getting your and then so then your judgment says fix suspension and then fix brakes.
Yes.
Well, wait. So start at the beginning. So. Engine,
then
brakes, then suspension.
Wait, are we talking about repair? Are we talking repair or are we talking modification?
That is a good question. I think I got a little sideways over here. So
actually, the way you were going was
modification.
You were going both at the same time.
Right, I was running them. I should distinguish a little bit better. In terms of repair, before you modify anything, make sure your vehicle is well repaired. And that means, gosh, we had them up in New Jersey. I hate that they don't have them all over the country, but there would be an annual inspection where a certified technician would look at your car and say, okay, you're safe, or no, how are you driving this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good from a personal cost perspective to not have those inspections, but then when you're on the road and you wonder why someone broke down in the middle of 285 and has caused a three-hour delay at 1 p.m., mm-hmm. and you wonder why is not everyone at work, it's because this person didn't realize that their car had no coolant and, you know, they just broke down in the middle of the road and they don't know to pull over to the shoulder.
The majority of these cars have idiot lights on them for things like that.
That's why you have electrical tape to cover it.
Yeah, I've come across a number of customers that will cover their idiot lights up.
We had somebody on a podcast
or the kids
way back
picture.
When he was covering things.
And who was this?
What was his name?
Oh, that guy.
The guy that parked on the grass out front.
Yeah, that dude.
Matt.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you had annual inspections, there would be a certified mechanic saying, you can't drive your car on the road anymore.
Yes, right.
Like, this isn't just a hazard to you. It's a hazard to
people around
thousands of people. So get your car in sound mechanical condition.
Right.
Where I was overlapping is in the case that you do want to modify your vehicle and you are having to replace something that you plan on modifying later. And the example I led into was suspension. Go ahead and upgrade it. If you're going to replace it anyway, look into cost-effective replacements as you are doing your repairs.
Money. Yeah, I'm over here signing money.
That was actually my point that I got sidetracked. Plan for what your car is going to be in the future.
Right. that's actually...
Yeah,
what
is have an end goal, yes.
Yeah, know what it's going to be down the road and plan accordingly now.
Right. I told myself that note in my head, and I never said it.
Yes.
I have this really big problem of saying things in my head that never make it to my mouth.
Mine's the other way around.
Right? I think we all have that issue at one point.
You have to know what your car is going to be. For my 240, I knew it's going to be a drift car. I do stunt driving as well on movies, so it is going to be a backup car for that to train people, to practice with myself. So I know no matter what the car is going to slide.
Don't fix the fenders. If they're going to practice drifting, don't fix the fenders.
In wide open parking lots.
Still.
Yeah.
There's always a curb.
Oh,
gosh.
Yeah.
I know. Right, right.
Once I get the e-brake in, I'm happy to teach everyone here that is interested in doing so.
Woohoo!
It'll be a podcast in a half.
Yes, working lot day. We so need to have a podcast doing that.
But to address Mickey's question about why I would say suspension before you do brakes. So if you get your brakes working right, but you have extraordinarily loose suspension, as you lock up your brakes, your car will steer wherever it wants. Wherever the suspension loads is where the car is going to veer. And if you're not used to that, you can fly into someone's lane and you both get in trouble with that.
I understand. So that's why you say modify the suspension.
Yes, and prepare the suspension for whatever it is you're going to have the car be. So
and being able to basically stop does come back to that first step of making sure the car is generally good.
Right, exactly. So the car has to be stable. So once you have that, you get your brakes going, you get to stop firmly. That way when someone cuts you off without using the signal, you can stop. It's a good practical safety application.
Yep.
And once all that's in place, you can build your engine up to match whatever suspension you have. A lot of people make the mistake of overbuilding the engine and not having what we call a chassis. Chassis includes suspension to match that. Mm-hmm. So if you can go 200 miles an hour, but you can't turn or stop, it's kind of useless. You become a very, very dangerous missile. in the case of, what did we have? We had a Hellcat that we built on a movie that I previously worked on.
Wow.
That was great, and we turned it into a convertible, which looks cool, but it was an awful idea because it took away all the structural rigidity of the vehicle. The roofline is a very key component in holding the car firm. So when it came to going into corners at 120 miles an hour, it didn't.
What about subframe connectors and things that could be added after the roof is...
That is a thing that we thought of afterwards. We didn't have the time or luxury to do that beforehand. We eventually put 2x4, 1-inch wall thick I-beams pretty much in the subframe to give lateral rigidity to the car, and we welded it in, which was great, but we didn't have that available for the stunt days. So in the case of those high-speed maneuvers, the car just wouldn't hold up.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, fix the car, if I were to cliff notes this, fix the car so that it's actually safe and it would pass an inspection. Let a mechanic say that it's a good, safe car to drive. Figure out what you want the car to be. Start from the bottom and work your way up and forward. That would be it.
I think that's an excellent list.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you know, I've occasionally thought about modifying a car, and I kind of don't want to make it, I want a sleeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want it looking mostly stock on the outside, which means I'm leaving the ride height alone. I'm not messing with the rims really, maybe a little bit. But I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna modify the intake. I'm gonna modify the output, and maybe mess with some of the engine works. Maybe mess with the electronics a little bit, and just leave the car looking alone, mm-hmm. you know, stock. But now you may have changed my mind.
And the thing about that is, you can make a sleeper and do all kinds of work without people knowing that you've done the work. Control arms and sway bars are actually going to be probably 70% of your handling.
Hmm.
You don't need to lower the center of gravity unless you're going to do some serious racing. But
thank you.
Just having polyurethane bushings on your sway bars, getting some adjustable sway bar end links, a fatter rear sway bar, maybe a thinner front sway bar, and then some adjustable control arms to give you a little bit more negative camber. You can outhandle most of what's out there on the road from a stock production level.
So when we're driving down the road and we see a car that's been completely slammed, and you know all the wheels are really
that's a whole other conversation. The camber
right, the super negative camber. There's like 2 millimeters of space between the rubber and the fender.
Yeah. They have done a disservice to the whole world.
they've done a huge disservice to that car.
Yes. Well, that's my question. It's like, unless you have that thing on a track, what is
it's
the
just
point?
The image.
It's not even a track car. It's purely image. Which I never want to censor anyone's freedom of expression. You can do whatever you want. You are into what you are into. I can't change your mind about that.
However,
the problem comes in when you drive that thing on the street and you reach a speed hump and you can barely cross it at half a mile an hour and you have to go diagonally crossing into opposing traffic.
Because you're high centering anything you cross.
Right. Because if you try to go straight over, you ruin your lip, you ruin your side skirt, and worst case scenario, you get stuck on this 2-inch high speed hump.
Exactly. And you might break your undercar lighting.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Your disco lights.
Yes. Yeah. So,
that's the thing. We live in this whole culture, and I know we're running out of time, but as soon as you're starting to talk about modifications in general, we live in the culture that puts style above substance almost every single time.
Yes.
Function over fashion.
And it kills me. It's like,
I've seen a bunch of cars out there that I said to myself, they put as much money and effort into making it go fast as they did into making it look fast.
Right. Yes.
Or not even going fast, but just being sound, working well. I've seen so many cars, and at least this trend is wearing out a little bit, but the people that would have the giant fancy wheels and the sound system, yet the car visibly has issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
or the car has issues because of the sound system.
That's a whole other. But it's just, put the money into the car. Don't worry about...
And somebody pointed out that I work with, like I saw a CLA 450.
Oh, wow.
No.
Wait.
The 4 was not the same size as the 5 in the year. Anybody that knows what you did, knows what you did. Anybody who doesn't know, doesn't care. So don't bother putting your stickers in your
All right, Ronnie, you want the last word on this topic before we sign off?
Sure. Just bear in mind, when you're spending your money, it's your money. You can do whatever you want with it, but please be logical, because you're not just doing your own thing. When you drive on the road with whatever you've created, you're sharing that with thousands of people. So try and be considerate of your fellow driver and your neighbor. And be smart with your money. Try and follow some advice of a professional.
Excellent. All right. Thank you for listening. We are The Thing About Cars. As always, a strong box guest. Wishing all of you guys an excellent day and safe driving. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.